So let's take a look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 21. The Bible says, "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God.'" Can I get a witness on that? "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Would you say jealous?
Jealous.
"I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son or daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother." Can I get a witness on that, by the way?
Amen.
Yes. See that hand over there? Yes. Mom says, yes, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or his maidservant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of the Lord will be with you to keep you from sinning." And the people remained at the distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, knowing that you are mighty and awesome, and Lord, knowing that you carry us on eagle's wings, Lord, that you bring us out of darkness and slavery and sin, Lord, that we might have freedom in you and experience fullness in life and be transformed. So, Lord, we come to you this morning at the bottom of the mountain, wanting to climb, wanting to move on up, asking that you would open the way, and we will give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Last night, I was all alone. My family had all gone up to the CIF championships. The state, I don't know where they're at on it, the state championships up at Horizon. The girls' basketball team and the boys' basketball team are both past the finals for the conference or the section or whatever it is, and they are now progressing along in the state playoffs. And and they both won handily, I mean, by a bunch. And so they will be continuing on. And I was reminded this morning, I remember last year we went to Joe's football game. And, high school football game, and it was at San Diego High. And I drove up, I was driving, meeting everybody there, and I can see the field. You know, it's got lights, you know, it's all over there. And I say, I really don't know how to get there, but I can see it right there, so I'm just going to park right here. I'm just going to walk over there. And I get over there, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I get to the chain link fence, you know, and I can see all the people. I'm supposed to be with them, right? But there's no gate on this side. And if you've ever been to San Diego High, that complex is quite large. And what I had to do was I had to walk all the way around that complex to find where the gate was to where I could get in. There was a it was so small. But that separation, that gate was substantial. And there was no getting around it. You ever get that feeling? The Israelites had that feeling. They had been coming out of slavery. God had guided them out of slavery, was bringing them to himself. But there was a barrier. There was a separation between them and God. And at this point, and up to this point, they were completely unaware of it. I mean, I got aware. When that fence was looking at me right in the face, I knew, whoa, I got a problem here. And up to this point, the Israelites didn't realize that they had a problem. Their problem was, title of today's message, they were separated from God. They are in the 60th day. Last week we took a look at the halfway through the second month. This is the beginning of the third month. 45 days last week, they were struggling. They had barriers. They had problems. And God kept on drawing them to himself. Amen? Maybe you come here this morning, you're going, man, I want to draw near to the Lord. And I don't understand what is keeping me back. I don't understand what the separation is. Well, I am trusting that the Lord has called you here for a reason. That the Lord is going to give you a view of the barriers in your life. That's what happened at Mount Sinai for the Israelites. They received the Ten Commandments. And they got a whole lot more. The whole back half of Exodus and much of Leviticus is filled with law. And the Lord gives them the initial ten. Moses goes up, comes back down and says, here's the ten, and then goes up for another 40 days. God gives them the ten, and they become aware of what is separating them from him. But that's the first step. Because if you don't know what your problem is, you aren't going to be able to take any steps to fix it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to take a look at... That's killing me today. Being separated from God. Amen. Well, open your Bibles. Man, wow. I'm just... open your Bibles, if you would. We're going to go back one chapter to chapter 19, and I'm going to read for you verses 3 and 4. So, I read from you chapter 20, most of chapter 20, which has the Ten Commandments. We're going back one chapter in the setup, okay? And it says in verses 3 and 4, it says, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob. Now, the house of Jacob is another name or another way to refer to the Israelites or the Jews. And you hear all kinds, you know, it's like Americans or... I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. But, you know, they've got all kinds of different names. San Diegans. You got Diegos. Not gringos. Anyway, all right. You're getting it. You're getting it. Okay. Here we go. This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt. How I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And God is working a plan with his people. You are here today. You are here today because God is working a plan in your life. Amen?
Amen.
You feel it? God has got something going on inside you and he wants to work something out. Right, Beatrice? God's doing something. Israel has experienced the miracles of God. How many of you have experienced God's mighty hand?
Amen.
Look at that. Look around. Look around. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Look around. All these people. Why? Because God wants you to know him. God didn't say, here I am in a book. No, he says, I am the living God. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will bring you to myself. I will reveal myself to you. There was a lady who brought a printer or something last week, and she gave it to Pastor Ramiro, and she was taken off. And I said, "Hey, how you doing?" I went and met her. She's an English speaking lady, and she's nice. And I'm talking to her. So you go to church? She goes, "Oh no, I got my own hookup with God." Oh really? You know, how is that? Well, I just go out to the to the beach, you know, and I just, you know, he is in my heart. And I said, well, how do you feel when you're at the beach? Oh, I feel so good. I said, you know what? The Bible tells us that God put eternity in your heart so that you'll have a draw to him. He'll draw you to himself through that thing he's done in your heart. And then you know what the Bible also says? It says that the creation, the beach, the mountains, the sky, the stars, all those things declare the glory of God. And I also said, you know what the Bible says? It says the Bible says, and she gave us this stuff, and she couldn't close the trunk to her truck. And she's trying to, like, move this bike and close the thing, and she couldn't do it. So I said, can I help you with that? And she's like, okay. You know, I'm kind of freaking her out a little bit, you know, talking about all this God stuff. I mean, you know I can do that, right? I just get right on you. So she grabs the bike, and I shut the tailgate, and it works. And I said, you know what? That right there is why you shouldn't worship alone. Because there's a lot of stuff you can't get done alone. And she's like, I gotta go, you know. But God has got a plan, and God is calling you to this place. Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus talking, says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. And so if you are here this morning, in the same way that the Israelites were drawn out of Egypt, out of slavery, and God says, man, I'll deal with Egypt. And they plundered Egypt, took all the wealth out of Egypt. And some of the Egyptians said, man, we are jumping on board with you. And some of you have brought people with you. Amen? They see what is going on in you, and they say, I want to be part of that. I want to see what God has got going on and do some of that stuff. And so God will pull you along. If you are here this morning, it is because God has a plan for you. Amen? Amen? Come on now. All right. We're doing okay? This is old school. All right, so we're going to move ahead if you've got your Bibles. See, and that's why you always bring your Bible, because you never know when the projector's going to break. We are going to read verses 5 and 6. Now, God calls him, and he has an offer, and he has some demands, right? He says, I'm going to do this if you will do this. Check it out. He says, now. Everybody say now.
Now.
He's saying now, right now. Check it out. I have got something for you. I have called you up here for a message. He says, now, if you obey me fully. That's a big word, that fully there, right? If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, covenant is like a contract. Covenant is like a deal. I'm making a deal with you. If you will fully keep this deal I am making with you, then out of all nations, you'll be my treasured possession. That sounds good, right? You know, my wife is my treasured possession. She is a blessing to me. The Lord, you would be his treasured possession. He says, although the whole earth is mine. That's a lot of stuff. Amen? The whole world, that's a lot of stuff. And he says, out of the whole world, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. I don't know if you were up here, Mrs. Metz, but I just got done telling everybody that you are my treasured possession. I keep my eyes specially on you, baby.
I did not hear that.
Well, isn't that good? You guys all, right? I said that, right? Yeah. Yeah. I want to make sure that you heard that. God chose them, and I chose you out of the whole world. And see, that's how special you are. If God is calling you out of darkness, out of sin, out of your former life, he's saying, come and have a relationship with me. I want to separate you. That's what it means being holy is. He says, I'm going to take you out of the common pile. I'm going to put you into my pile. I'm going to separate you unto me. I'm going to make you holy. That's what that is. It's called being sanctified, being separated. You're going to come out of the big pile into my pile. It's like when you're a kid playing marbles, you know. It's like, yeah, those are all the marbles. But when I hit one and knock it out of the circle, it's mine. And it becomes special. That's what God is doing with you this morning if you're here. You're not here on your own. He says, no one comes to me unless my Father calls them. Out of everything I have, and I've got everything, you're going to be special to me. I see that little kid back there running around. I just see Maddie, man, smiling. You know why? Because that kid is special to her. God, you would be special to him. He says, you're going to be my treasure. You will be the apple of my eye. And he says, you're going to be a kingdom of priests. And you're thinking, wait a minute. And he's not talking about Catholic priests, you know, black robes or whatever, collars. He's talking about a people who are focused on worship. That's what the priest's primary job is. Amen? It is worship. They worked on the tabernacle. They would receive sacrifices from people. They would make those sacrifices to the Lord. They were the intermediary between God and the people. And as God calls you out of darkness into the light, he's saying, I want you to be my intermediary. He said, that's why you've got these invites for Easter. Why? That's why we're doing a play. That's why your kids are here, so that you can ask somebody to come and you can be the intermediary and you can bring them into a relationship with people who know the Lord and a relationship with a God who will call them out of darkness. Does that make sense? He says, man, I have got great plans for you. I want you guys to shift the focus of your life and no longer will you just be kind of just shooting it out there. You're going to put a focus on me. You're going to be my priest. And that can be a challenge because a lot of us don't even have any focus. Can I get a witness on that? My son came up to me 2 weeks ago, maybe not even 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago. And he says, Dad, I had this great picture I was going to show you up there, but it's not up there. He says, Dad, check it out. I want to get this skateboard. And I'm like, really? And he goes, yeah, look at this deck. Deck? Really? A deck is what they call the board parts that you step on. Everybody's going, oh, yeah, of course we know that. Well, I mean, you got to be like a skateboarder. You know, the deck. And he goes, look, Dad, look at the bottom of the deck. Look at this paint job. I said, Joe, it's on the bottom. Ain't nobody going to see it if you're riding it. And he goes, and then I want to get these trucks. Trucks are like the axles. I'm like, okay, yeah, great, Joe, looks good. And then these are the custom wheels I want to get. Look at that. That is going to be so cool. I'm like, Joe, you don't even know how to ride a skateboard. And he goes, but I can learn. I'm like, you got to buy the best skateboard in the world to learn on? You know, he's getting his driver's license in like 2 weeks. The last thing he's thinking about, this was 10 days ago. The last thing he's thinking about today is what? Skateboard. He's got no focus. People, the Israelites are coming out of slavery. They were brought out for what reason? To worship God. That's the last thing on their mind. Where's the water? Where's the meat? Where's the bread? How do we get along? We're lost. We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to slavery. They had great food back there. They're just scattered. God says, hey, you're going to be a nation of priests for me. You're going to have to get a focus. Let me help you with that. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Point number two. Continue reading on in chapter 19. Reading from verses 9 through 12. Bible says, are you there? How many of you got a Bible, by the way? Mrs. Metz has a Bible. It's probably sitting right next to her phone. There you go. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verses 9 through 12. 9 through 12. If you're looking, it's page 64. Joking. I know. Some people aren't going to get it. The Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you. This is the Lord talking to Moses, right? How many people are around? 2 to 3 million. That's a grip of people. Amen?
Yes.
Population of San Diego City, 2 to 3 million. Okay? All right, so there's a group of people around there. The Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. And then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. Verse 10, and the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And he says, put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain nor touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Well, that's a bit of a deterrent. Can I get a witness on that? Don't come up to the pulpit. Touch this pulpit. And you'll, okay, we're not going up there. Make sure your kids don't come up here. You know, they put a barrier up so the animals couldn't even come up. God is setting up a message. Amen? And he's saying, you know, that worship, we are called into out of darkness, given freedom for what? To worship the Lord, to put a focus on him, to move him up our priority level. He says, hey, Moses telling to Pharaoh, let my people go so we can do what? Go worship the Lord. They get out in the wilderness as it appears. That's the last thing on their mind. Where's the water? Where's the bread? Where's the meat? Nobody's saying, hey, when can we have church? He's saying, we're going to have church. Start getting the people ready. Prepare yourselves. Because just walking into the presence of God is not a casual thing. He says, start having people wash their clothes. And you know what? We can get a feeling, wash their clothes. God's not going to refuse me because my clothes are dirty. No, but if you want to step into the presence of the Lord, you might start thinking about it before, 5 seconds before you want to do it, and start preparing yourself. Can I get a witness on that? And he's saying, hey, I want you to wash your clothes. In fact, Moses, in the verses past us, he says, I don't want you guys to have sex for 3 days. What? I've had people say, God made me this way. He knows how I am. He just needs to accept me the way I am. Well, I guess not. Because if you walk up that mountain, he'll kill you dead. Put a barrier up. Keep the people safe. Why? Because they're not taking me for real. Have them clean their clothes. Tell them not to have sex for 3 days. This needs to be a real thing. How about you? You want to come in here and hear from God? You want to hear from God this morning? Amen. Elsie, you'd like to have God say, Elsie. Steve, say, Steve. And have just a personalized message for you. Amen. You know what? You might have to start prepping Saturday night. We had a great prayer meeting last night. We have more prayer. I think this is the most people we've ever had at a prayer meeting. How many of you guys were disappointed? Why? God was good. God shows up. It's always good. Amen? You know what? You can have a prayer meeting every Saturday. You can, on Saturday night, you can begin going, oh, Lord, I want to hear from you. Lord, I want to see a mighty move of your spirit in the service tomorrow. I want the word to come alive for me. You think the Lord would honor that prayer?
Amen.
Lord, help me. Lord, I am so lost without you. I want to hear from you. I'm telling you, you will hear from God. How about Wednesdays? You come to Wednesday night service? Are you looking to hear from him? Wednesday night, we started this new thing, fasting on Wednesdays at lunch. How many people fasted last Wednesday at lunch? Amen. I'll tell you what. Do it this Wednesday. Have it be a regular routine. And during lunch on Wednesday, say, Lord, I want to hear from you tonight. Lord, use me in a mighty... Lord, I want to be your priest. Lord, how can I be your servant? And I'm telling you, God can speak. Amen?
Amen.
Like, not like we got to... God created the universe. He knows English. He knows Spanish. He knows Swahili. He knows every language. If you're deaf and mute, God can still speak clear as a bell to you. Amen?
Amen.
God is still speaking. What he's looking for is for people that are listening. People who want to hear, Lord, I am ready. I am ready to move. I want to be your priest. I want to put a focus on you. Lord, I want to be guided by you. And I'm going to put some effort into that. I'm going to be in your word. I'm going to be in prayer. I'm going to do some fasting. I'm going to do some stuff. And you know what? The Lord will speak to your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, second point, verses 16 through 19, the fire of the Lord. On the morning of the third day, see, they had washed their clothes. They had abstained from sex. They were going, whoa, this is a real deal thing. They're all camped around the mountain. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning. How many of you guys like thunder and lightning? My wife hates thunder. I love thunder and lightning. I sit out there, whoa, this is so radical. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain. And a very loud trumpet blast, and everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. When Sinai was covered with smoke because... See, the Lord didn't come down in smoke. The Lord came down in fire. It says, Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. And the smoke billowed up from it, from the mountain. See, the Lord came down in fire and the mountain caught on fire. I'll tell you what. Dirt don't often burn. Can I get a witness on that? Rocks don't often burn. And when they burn, I'll tell you what, there's a black smoke that's coming up. Amen? Fire comes down and black smoke is coming up. It billowed up like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke and the voice of God answered him. Let me see how much this is. Verse 19, yes. The fire of the Lord. Lord is making a display. The people are, the Lord is on the top. There's fire on the top. There's smoke on the top. And there's trembling on the bottom. It says that the earth is quaking. The mountain is quaking with the presence of God. And the people are quaking because of the presence of God. The people stood on the bottom and you see... If you can get this mental picture of 2.5 to 3 million people surrounding Mount Sinai and the fire of God on the top and nobody in between. And there is this picture of the separation of God from his people. The separation of his people from God. And there is that gap. Moses reinforced it because he put a barrier up. God said, don't let them come up. They'll be dead. Put a barrier. Someone might rush into the presence of God. Why? Because the people didn't understand yet what was going on. People might think they were done. Man, we came out of slavery. There's God right up there. How many of you guys be saying, God's right there. I want to run up there. Amen. Amen? Amen? Yeah? I'm serious. I would want to go up. I mean, here's God right there. Yeah, I want to be part of that. I want to run up there. I remember I was saved maybe 9 months. How many of you guys saved less than 9 months? Okay. How many of you remember what it likes to be saved 9 months? I tell you what, I was so fired up. We went to this prison outreach. It was at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, prison outreach. Sacramento. I went at 3 a.m. And I couldn't understand why there was nobody else there. Let's go, man. We're going to prison outreach. It's going to be a whole day thing. No, it was 3 in the afternoon. So I came back and we went and did this outreach. And we had a pretty country singer, Debs or somebody like that. Lisa Daggs, yeah. And the guys didn't care so much about us, man. They wanted to hear Lisa Daggs sing. That girl could sing too, but it was a cool thing. I'm saved 9 months. I'm ballistic. Oh, it's coolest thing on the planet. And I'm talking on the way home, saved 9 whole months, and I am just. I mean, I come out of such pollution and garbage, and you probably heard that before. And if you haven't, stick around. You'll hear about it. And I'm going. This is just so. I'm talking, there's a van, I don't know, 10, 12 people in it. This is so cool, man. I am just loving this. It just feels so right. I just think that I am just so right. And this lady looks at me and says, you've got a long way to go. I'm like, what's up with you, lady? I'm just having a good day here, man. I'm not saying I've arrived at God or anything. Well, you just don't know what's going on, do you? And that's what was going on with those Israelites. They didn't know. And that's why God's going to give them the law. So they will know why there's a separation. Are we good? All right. So now, let's jump back onto chapter 20 with the Ten Commandments. And I might abridge this just a bit because I read them all for you. God spoke these words, chapter 20, verses 1 through 21. Sorry, 1 through 17. I am the Lord your God, brought you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. That's number one, right? Yeah, don't make any idols. I mean, and we're not talking about a TV. And we're not talking about pizza. We are talking about... I think I had something. Oh. You guys ever heard of an Asherah pole? Oh, it's gone. Where'd that... An Asherah pole. Ah, they had Baals and they had Asherah pole. And they would worship these. Oh, great Asherah pole, great Asherah, and the power. Closest thing you would find today in San Diego is a Buddha when you go to a Chinese restaurant or a Vietnamese car shop. You see those things? People bow down and pray to them. God says, don't do that. You don't make an idol of anything in heaven. Because don't make a picture of me. I got saved with a guy named Sal. At least I really like that guy. He's a pretty weird guy. But he was a pain to be around. But he bought this picture of Jesus, you know, and he paid like $250 for it. And he put it above his bed, and he used to worship it. That is idolatry. Do not make any picture of, and if you don't, you can have a picture of Jesus in your house. Just don't worship it. Right? Why? Because it ain't him. All right, let's go back on the 10. So, this shall have no other God before me, no idols. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. God's name is not a curse word. You know, I've been having some troubles of late with my body, with things that I've been doing, and I will mess up. Any of you guys ever mess up? You know, like let's just say you hit your thumb with a hammer, right? You know what I say? I say, ugh. Is that okay? God's okay with ugh. It's like, ugh. You can do that. Just substitute, you know, but whatever. Do not use the Lord's name in that. Amen? And don't get too familiar with it either, you know? So, anyway, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Honor the Sabbath day. And that's back in the day, that was Saturday, not Sunday. It was a Sabbath day. Honor. Keep it holy, man. God works 6 days. Take a day off. Honor the Lord. Now, Jesus goes beyond that and says, hey, I want you to honor me with every day. Keep every day holy. Amen? All right. Then we move to the different set. We got a vertical set of commandments, which I just mentioned, and then we have a horizontal set, which is honor your father and mother. And Teresa, where'd Teresa go? Teresa liked that one. Oh, she's looking at the kid. Honor your father and mother. Amen? Amen? You like that one, Sandra? Yes, praise the Lord. Honor your father and mother. So I don't get these mixed up. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, and do not steal. Do not bear false witness. You know what? You can't have a legal system if people are lying on stand. It's not lying. It's don't bear false witness. Because we got to be able to catch the bad guys. We've got to be able to stand for righteousness and justice. Amen? And they says, don't covet. Don't covet your neighbor's wife, donkey, Civic, whatever it is. Don't covet his TV. Don't covet his VCR, his carpet, his window treatments. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. Paul says, learn how to be content with what you got. You know? And God will bless you with the stuff that you need. Amen? Ten commandments, vertical and horizontal. The first four I'm Lord your God, have no other God. No idols, don't misuse the name of the Lord your God, and honor the Sabbath. That is to establish the vertical relationship with God. You want to line up with God? God set his people free, brought them to Mount Sinai and said, now you're free, I've displayed my might among you, now this is how you have relationship with me. Then he says, this is how you have relationship with one another. Honor your father and mother. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness, and don't covet. That's how you're going to hook up with the people around you. Because there's all kinds of people like that lady who said, oh, I just worship the Lord on the beach. You know what? You can have the greatest relationship with the Lord, but if it is not manifested on the people that are around you, it's not accomplishing much. And you know what? If you isolate yourself from the people around you, how many of you have found that there's some troubling people around you? You got that? Oh, yeah. There is some troubling people. Sometimes it's in your own home. Sometimes it's your children. Sometimes it's that treasure of your eye. Bible says, Psalms 27:1. Let me read it to you. No, it's not here. I cut it out. Psalms 27:1. As iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens man. God puts you in relationship with a bunch of messed up people so that you're forced to grab onto him to establish relationship around. And you know what? Your relationships are going to get better because of the people that are around you, and your relationship with God is going to get better because they're so messed up. God, help me with this guy. That's how come my wife is so godly. She had to put up with me for 20 years. God, help me with this guy. Last part, Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. All this happens, fire, Egypt, the wealth of Egypt, the plagues, the experience, you know, the blood, the frogs, the flies, the gnats, the livestock, the hail, the locusts, the boils, the darkness, the firstborn. They go through the Red Sea, they get to the spring Meribah, they get to Mount Horeb. Over and over and over and over again, God reveals himself to them. He says, this is how you're going to hook up with me. Gives them these first 10 commandments. And the response is, when the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die. That's a bad spot to be in, folks. God, don't talk to me. Have you been there before? Not wanting to hear from God? Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you, to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Separated from God. Staying at a distance. You know what? At this point, there was no need for the fence. At this point, there was no need for the barrier because nobody was running up that mountain. Why? Because God had given them the means by which they could approach them, and they understood there was no way they could make it. And they were afraid. They were afraid to die. They were not going to approach God. And Moses said, no, you got it all wrong. He set us free. He reveals himself to us. Now he gives us this list of things so we know what to work on. Because if you don't know what your problem is, you won't know how to address it. It is drawing near to God which allows us to address our issues, which allows us to become aware of the sin in our lives. And every one of us has sin. Every one of us has a problem. John says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, he says, hey, if you say without sin, you're lying. Verse 9 says, but God is faithful and just. And if you will confess your sin, turn from unrighteousness, He will cleanse you and purify you, and you will be transformed. 40 years they spent in the wilderness. Never drew near to God. They all died, except for Caleb and Joshua. Two guys who were drawn near to the Lord. Two guys who trusted God. Two guys who accepted the promises of God and said, hey, let's go take that land. 1,200 years after they had taken the land, they had kings. And 1,200 years, they never got a focus. They were never able to draw near to God, even though the presence of God was right in their midst. You're here this morning is because God wants you to draw near to Him. You say, you want to come up? God wants you to come up. The rest of you guys can hang tight for just a minute. Apostle Paul talks about it. He says, I was so messed up. He goes, I was so messed up, I didn't even know what I was doing. I would read the Word of God, and it would just spring into me the desire to sin. I was doing stuff I didn't even realize that I was doing. I was so messed up. And then Paul says, at just the right time, in the nick of time, God sent His Son to me to transform me and reveal Himself to me so that I could draw near to Him and I could be transformed in just the right moment. Maybe you're here this morning and you are sensing the distance between you and God. I have a text that I was going to leave up as the worship team sang. And they're going to sing, so don't run off. We're going to pray, and they're going to come up as we are praying. You come in here this morning, and as I am talking, and as the Lord is speaking to you, He's called you to something new. And you are sensing some barriers in your worship. The writer of Hebrews says, Jesus came and opened the way. Open the way up the mountain. Open the way into the most holy place. And He says, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. You can read this later. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. That's what they were lacking in the wilderness. A guilty conscience. And as the law came, and the Ten Commandments came, and adultery and murder and honoring your fathers and mothers and bearing false witness and the covetousness and honoring your God and not having any idols and not misusing His name. As those came over and over, they became more and more guilty, and there was no way to deal with it. And this morning, there's a way. He says, draw near to Me, worship Me, and I will cleanse you. Amen? Lisa's going to sing. Maybe the Lord is just speaking to your heart. Lord, I come to You this morning, Lord, and I thank You for Your Word. And we are going to sing a song. And I'm just going to ask You to just, in a moment, just move out from where you're at. I'm just going to stand, we're just going to begin to just sing this song. It's an easy song, and you'll pick it up. You don't need your papers. But God called us out of slavery to be priests and called us out of slavery to worship. You got some distance in your life. You got some barriers that need to be overcome. Right now, the Lord is letting you know. He's saying, yeah, you got problems. Everybody here's got problems. And those problems will be addressed as you draw near to me. So let us draw near to the Lord. This morning 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 to the Lord.